Mechanic interviewing Mrs. Spayek on November 16th at 1:30 p.m. Would you please state your name and spell your last name?
S-P-A-I-C-H.
Spell your last name. Would you please start out by telling me some background information about yourself?
Do what?
Would you please tell me some background information about yourself? Would you tell me some information about your background?
About my what?
Your background.
My background?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mean my parents or something? Oh, all right. My parents were Serbian and they came from Yugoslavia in 1914. And they brought four boys with them. And they came to Madison. The grandparents were there. And they made their home there. My mother had to go to work. My father was sick for a long time. And then after he got better, they got a job and worked on the steel mills. And then I was born in 1916, April the 18th. I was their first born in America. And then there was three more after me. And one of them was, the baby died of pneumonia or something. And then I had two more brothers who are still living. You want their names? John Kosick and Stephen Kosick. And then I have older brothers. You want the older ones too? Well, them two. You want their ages? And then I have a 97-year-old brother in a retirement center. He came from Europe. And let's see, what else can I tell you? Well, my parents came from Yugoslavia. And my mother, her father was Serbian, and her mother was Romanian. So there was a mixture there, you know, and I guess they had some German in them too, because my father was blonde and my mother had coal black hair. And they spoke Serbian, and when they came here, they went to Italy to get on the boat, and they brought another young man with them. He was going to come to America, and he thought he'd be able to stay here. And my uncle's wife and daughter was on with them. Well, when they examined them, they found out that the girl had trachoma and they wouldn't let her stay. So the mother could come, but the daughter went back. And that young man, he didn't have anybody that would sponsor him, so he had to go back. So they made their life up here. We lived in Tri-City Park. I don't think you even ever heard of it. Across the track from Madison. They used to have, it's still there. It's a little village. Anyhow, my father got the job and he worked and they bought a house, a little two-room house, and then had a great big, I call it a shed. They had cow, they had a place for a cow, and then they had a kitchen there. So, we had a lot of fun there. We grew up. Then when I was six, we moved to Madison across the street from where we lived. And I went to Madison School. And I went to three different schools there. I went to the Lewis Bear School. That was from first to sixth grade. And then I went to the Harris School from seventh to eighth. And then I went to the high school from the first to the fourth. So I graduated as a second grade, you know, the class. My girlfriend was first and I was second. So then when I graduated, the depression came along. And couldn't find a job. I looked all over and, you know, the boys all had some kind of a little job and my father worked a little bit. And we all, they manage, you know, how they pool their money and help each other. They don't do that anymore. The kids take it, stick it in their pocket. Anyway, we lived pretty good. The depression was kind of rough, though, on a lot of people. And the Madison Police Department had a truck, and every so often, people that would ask for food, they'd bring them a sack of flour and some canned goods. And some of that Australian beef in a can. And some of my mother's friends said they didn't like it, so they'd bring it over to my mother, that beef, and she would make stew with it. And it was real good. And then another thing, they used to give the grocery stores only could take certain, like coupons. They could just get so much meat. Well, this grocer in Madison, he had a grocery store downstairs, and he had like a rooming house upstairs, a lot of single guys, and they gave him the coupon. So he gave it to my mother, and we always had plenty of everything. And shoes was the same way. You only got two, you know. And we never wanted for nothing. You know, I think that's the way all of them. And a lot of the people, they made their own wine and whiskey. And my mother made beer down in the basement. But my brothers drank it, not too much. And my father had friends come over. They didn't make it too much. But we had a lot of good neighbors, all kinds of different nationalities. We had Slavics, Bohemians, Greeks, Russians, what else? Jewish, every nationality that, you know, could be. And they all got along, intermarried, and the depression was over, and everybody started feeling pretty good, and then the war came. So, we were getting coupons then, too. And my five brothers was in service. My oldest brother, Steve, he was, I think, 36 when they drafted him. And then they said that they sent a paper that if he could fill it out and take it to where he worked at the mill, and they would make sure that he had a job to come to, so they discharged him and he worked in a mill. And my other brothers, one was in Baltimore in the Coast Guard, and one was in close to Japan, another one was in Germany. They were all, we was lucky none of them were killed, but so many of them in the neighborhood were killed. And we got that, right, I don't know if you noticed it, as you come off of Madison Avenue, right there by the McDonald's, they have this big, I don't know what you call it, but they got the names of all the boys that were killed during the war. And there was a lot of my neighbors. They were, and what else? Then things started getting better. I went to work at Woolworths, and I worked there as a sales clerk, then an auditor clerk. Then I had in charge of all the employees and making schedules and all that. And then I got married and quit the job. Take care of the baby. So I said, it was a good life. I couldn't complain. We never went hungry. We never wanted for nothing. And today, I said, people, they're lucky. They get food stamps and they go to the food banks and all over, and they don't appreciate it. So I don't know. We went through the Depression and through the war. It was kind of, well, when you're young, you don't, I was 18 years old, 17, 18, it didn't bother me. I wrote a lot of letters. We were lucky, though, that they all came back. But my one brother was there in Japan, and he got that, what they call jungle rot. And his fingers, he said that all that flesh was eaten off, and then penicillin just came in, and they started giving him penicillin, and it healed him. And so he came home, but he went back into service. Oh, what else can I tell you?
What can you tell me about your childhood?
Huh?
What can you tell me about your childhood?
About what?
Your childhood.
My childhood? Oh, it was fun. Oh, we had so much fun as girls, you know. Neighbor had 8 girls. Everybody had 5 or 6. Well, we'd play out there, and we'd go out in the alley, and we'd get bricks and stack them up and get a bulkhead or something, and we was going to make soup, and we get bones, not bones, but rocks, and we're playing, we're making soup. Then we had weddings and all kinds of stuff. But then after we, you know, grew up, went to school, we forgot about all that. Yeah. And then when I got married, well, I lived across the street in the family house, and I had my first son in 1952. No, I got married in 1952, and he was born in 54. And then I had a daughter. She's born in 56. I had another daughter in 57, but she was stillborn. So my husband worked at McDonnell Douglas. He was a template maker. And during the war, he was in Iwo Jima. And you know, the planes that were damaged, they'd bring him over there, and then he would make these, you know, take the bad part out and then put the metal and screw it on, or I don't know how they did it. But then he was lucky too. He came home, and what else is there to say? We lived over there, and this house was old, so we bought it, and he remodeled it all over. He did it all by himself, and he worked. And we had a good life. I mean, I can't complain. We had downtown, it was beautiful. We had 2 theaters, Washington Theater, right where the bus stop is, and there was all kind of little stores. And then on the other street, there was another theater, and they always showed the Western. And we used to go, when we was kids, we used to go for a dime. I went till I was 16 years old for a dime. And that manager said, Mary, you know you're supposed to go a full ticket. I said, okay, next time. And go, and he let us get by. Sometimes kids didn't have money, you know, and they had a door on the side where people would leave, so he'd go tell them kids, go back there, and he opened the door and let them in free. You know, I think we had a better life than these kids today. You know, I always helped my mother. I always did this, did that. When I got older, I helped her cook. I did the laundry, iron.
So
clean house. Today a kid drops the clothes here, there, and walks away. All the mothers fuss. I don't know about your life, but I'm satisfied with things the way they worked out. I mean, I guess we were lucky.
How did you and your husband meet?
What?
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, how did I meet him? Well, you know, we had downtown, and there was always, we'd always come and walk around, and there's always guys from here, and we'd come from Madison, and a lot of the girls met their husbands there. And my husband, he had two brothers, they were twins, and they'd be out there, and he was tall and had blonde curly hair. He always stand in the background, and I knew him, but I didn't get involved right then. But years later, that was during the war, this friend of the family was killed in an automobile accident in New York. He was in service. And I went up to the wake, and my husband and his two sisters were standing there, and then we talked and all, and I said, are you going to the funeral? He said, no, I don't know where they were going. So I said, well, I'll see you later. So I went to the corner, there was a streetcar, I went to the show. If he didn't come over the next night, all dressed up, I said, what do you come up here dressed up for? He said, well, don't you want to go to a movie? I said, okay, let's go. That was fun. He was a good man. He was a good father. He was a good grandfather. Like when my daughter got divorced, and he always said, make sure that those kids have everything they need. And I'd give him lunch money every day. And now my granddaughter's 15, and my grandson's 18. He's in college now at SIU. So everything's fine. I mean, I can't complain about my life. I think I had a good life. I had a good husband. He never drank. If we went someplace, we always went on vacation with the kids. And we went shopping all the time together. Then he got sick. 4 years ago, he passed away. Cancer. Oh, that cancer doctor, he was worrying about pushing drugs. And my husband was in the hospital there, and he come in, he's laying in bed, and he stands there, he shakes his finger, and says, you know you're gonna die from this. And I said, what the heck kind of a doctor are you? I said, you're supposed to be helping him, not telling him. And then he says, well, we could help him, we could come over. He had an office in Fairview Heights. He says, give him shots. He only went there twice. He says, I ain't going up there. He says, I'm going to die. That's all them doctors wanted was shots and money. On Christmas Day, he passed away. In the evening, I got nieces and nephews, and they're all over. And my husband's family, well, they all passed away too.
When did you move?
Everybody worked. You know, we had the levee here, and there was a lot of poplar trees there, and they used to go swimming, you know. They had more fun there. Everything's changed. You can't go nowhere unless you got $20 in your pocket. Yeah. I don't know.
When did you move to Lincoln Place?
What?
When did you move to Lincoln Place?
I still didn't.
When did you move to Lincoln Place?
When did I what?
When did you come to Lincoln Place?
I still... Wait a minute.
Did the community center play... What? Did the Lincoln Place Community Center play any role in your life?
I still...
The Lincoln Place Community Center?
Yeah.
Did it play any role in your life?
Oh, yeah. The kids just... See, they had a little pool like back there where the kids could just wade in it. Yeah, they had somebody there. They had tables out there. And the kids would come and play, and this supervisor, she'd play with them. Then they had baseball games and basketball and football games, and now they use it for like parties, and then they still have some of these games. And during the war, they used to have dances there on Saturday. Well, right here in the army. Yeah, we had a lot of things. Well, when you go down this street, there were three grocery stores, a dress shop, a restaurant, and about four or five taverns. I guess you know that. And the plants. And down that way, they had the Mexicans had a, well, it's still a big building. They always had dances there on Saturday night. We used to get up there and go dance, and I used to come from Madison. We had fun. Kids don't have that fun at all. They stay home, they're on the computer. And if they want to go to movies, they don't want to go to the $2 show, they want to go to Collinsville or Edwardsville. Somebody's got to take them. My daughter. Oh, my.
What can you tell me about all the different...
What?
What can you tell me about all the different ethnic people?
All
in
the
Lincoln
different
Place.
Cousins or what?
All the different, all your different neighbors in Lincoln Place.
All the what?
What can you tell me about all the different people in Lincoln Place?
All the different people here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got Macedonians. There's nobody in that house, but the woman had a bunch of kids. And they're all married and everything, and then the parents died. And they got that house there for a shrine. And they say that when they have a lot of relatives that are in Canada, and they come to visit, so they keep that house all furnished and everything. It's really a nice house. Oh, and then let me see what else. We had some Hungarians and some Germans. And the rest of them are, I guess, American. They speak the American language. I speak Serbian, but there's nobody here I could speak to. But I have a friend in Madison, and we get on the phone. Every day we, you know, get together and talk. And she went back to Europe and she tells us what happened, how everything had changed. My father went back to Europe. He wanted to go back, take his three younger kids and leave my older brothers here. And my mother said, you can go and see what it's like. But She said, I ain't leaving my kids here. Money he took with him, but when he came back, his pockets were empty. And he came back, just the clothes he had on, so that he stayed with my mother's half-sister. And every day, she didn't have money to buy groceries. He was giving her money. He'd come back with his empty pockets and just the clothes he had. He didn't even bring his suitcase. And my mother used to write all the time and always put money in the envelope, you know. And a lot of people said that the post office would break in and take the money because it, you know, from America. But she said she always got the money. Oh, we always. Mom always sent them stuff.
How did all the different people in the neighborhood get along?
The what?
How did everybody in the neighborhood get along?
Oh, they got along in the neighborhood over where I lived. We got along good. But not in this neighborhood.
Why not?
Oh, we got some woman up here. She's, her and her boyfriend are interfering in everybody's business. They want to be boss.
Earlier you had talked about how Lincoln Place has changed.
Oh, how Lincoln Place has changed. Well, most of the older people are gone. You know, we had a lot of business places there. Like that Asadorian, she had a little confectionery right across from the clubhouse, and the kids would run in there. She had ice cream and stuff, and you know, we would buy stuff. We had four grocery stores. But then, when they started building the mall out there, everybody started going there. The downtown went down, so they tore all their buildings down. There were not worth, there's a big old drugstore on a corner, and then there was Newberry's, Woolworths, and all down the street there was men's shops, dress shops, furniture stores. You don't have that anymore. Nothing. No theater. They got them two motels there, but they got trouble there. Well, we used to walk. We didn't have no way else way to get up there but walk until the war. Then they had a bus that would come. Now, you know, as a senior citizen, it's good we have this bus that'll take you wherever you want to go. All you have to do is call them the day before and tell them where you want to go and what time is your appointment. And then they'll tell you when to be ready, and they come pick you up. And they have, you know, pick up women all over, and then they take you where you're going. And when you're done, all you have to do is call them, and they come get you. Well, then we got there. The other bus, and it goes right down the street, you know, and it goes all the way to Venice. And it comes over the highway because this thing goes through West Granite and all the way out there in Maryville Road, and you can go any place you want on that bus, only for a quarter for the seniors. But the other people pay 50 cents, even a child, if the child walks, they pay 50 cents. No, we didn't have no trouble with the neighbors. We had, we didn't have any gardens here because the highway came and took everything, took our alley. We got a big ditch there that the water comes off the highway, and that ditches full of trash, and when the highway, they cut the grass, you know, and they just dump it in there. And I've called them how many times, the city, and you know what they tell me? Well, that don't belong to us, that's the state, call the state. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, I live in Granite City. I said, you're getting a salary. I said, it's your responsibility to make sure that we have it good. He called and they came and cleaned it out. I got to get after him again. Because we had snakes out here. Great big old snakes. One day I was coming around the porch and I seen the darn thing under the porch. And I thought, oh my God, it was curled up. And I said, what am I going to do now? So the trash man came by and he said, hey lady, you know you got a snake there? I said, yeah, I know. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I go, come in, get on the phone and call 911. And I told her, you know, in no time that the animal control came and he had a great big stick and he gets that snake and he puts it in the cage.
What sort of activities, what sort of activities were you involved in Lincoln Place? What sort of activities were you involved in Lincoln Place?
I mean, still don't understand what being a citizen, they serve meals there every day. And then they have bingo and dancing and, I don't go to none of it because I have plenty to do to keep me busy.
What did you used to do? What did you used to do in Lincoln Place?
What do I do?
Earlier in Lincoln Place. In the past.
Earlier?
In the past.
In the past. What I do for, well, we used to walk. You know where Wilson Park is at? Well, I lived in Madison and I used to walk around the park. We didn't swim. And I got walked to the show and just walk uptown and look in the windows. This is what I'd like to buy. And then we'd meet boys up there and we'd talk to them and boys come to Lincoln Place and we went to Madison. We never had no problems. We didn't fight. It was a good life though, that's all I could say. Because, you know, the family at that time stuck together. Like I say, my brothers all had some kind of a little job. And they always kept so much for themselves and give Mom. Well, we had electric bill. It was not even $2. Water bill was cheap. And some people had the old-fashioned pump. And this woman and this guy over there have a pump. They would water their garden. Yeah, them women, like my mother and all of them, and we had front porches, and when they get done with supper, they go sit out on the porch and they talk. All them women get together, and the kids did the dishes and cleaned up. Yeah, I used to scrub on a washboard. I don't know what they call it. It was like a big old stand, and then they had two places where they would open up, you know, like a bench where you could put your tub to wash, and the other then a wringer. Get that in scrub. And hang it on the line. And now you got a wash and dryer. Now I tell you, I lived through, depression, war, and it wasn't nothing bad. It's for some people it might have been, but you know, when it's a big family and you stick together. I don't know if all people did that, but everybody in our neighborhood did that. If you had seven, everybody had seven or six or seven or eight kids. And when they, as soon as they got to be 15 or so, they found some kind of a job. And they gave their mother money and kept their own loaf for themselves. That's the way it was. And that's the way everything, like my husband had two sisters, and he was the youngest, and they had twin boys and an older boy that was married. And the father, he used to butcher. He used to go to the packing house there in East St. Louis. I don't know if you know where that's at. That was. And sometimes they'd bring in them pigs that had a litter, and he'd go over there and get them little pigs and raise them. And when they got big enough, he'd butcher them. And he made his sausage, and he had a little smokehouse. They went to the levee over there. The boys used to shoot rabbits during the Depression. They had a lot of rabbits. And he said, some people ate the squirrels, but he said, we didn't. I tell you, we had library. You go to the library up here, you go to Madison. No, we had restaurants in Madison and grocery stores and other stores there too. And the bank, we had a bank there. And a bank in... When I worked in the dime store, we had a bank across the street. Oh, that was fun working in the dime store. We used to, like on the weekends, sometimes the girls would get together and say, where are we going to go? I said, oh, let's go on the boat. And we'd get on the streetcar, go on the boat, and sit around, talk, dance. And every place had, you know, like here in Lincoln Place, they had two or three places where there's dances or sometimes weddings in Madison. It didn't cost nothing to go in there and dance. Only thing is, you know, they bought soda and the boys all got their beer. I don't know. Maybe other people feel different, but I didn't have nothing to worry about. I guess I was lucky. I had a good husband. He didn't drink, he didn't, you know. Wherever we went, we always went together. We took the kids, if we went on vacation, we took them.
What can you tell me about your culture?
What
can you tell me about your culture, being Serbian?
My what?
Your culture, being Serbian.
I still didn't understand.
What can you tell me about you being Serbian?
In Serbian?
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about it?
What do I talk about?
What
language you mean?
Well,
Serbian. Because my parents didn't, you know, too good English, but they learned a little bit. Oh no, we, my mother and father wrote letters to Europe, and a lot of her friends didn't know how to write, so they'd come over and she would write letters for them. And they'd put money in an envelope, and they always got it. But one friend told us that when she put money in the bank, in their envelope, her relative said there was never no money in it. So I don't know. You know, no, that's the first language I learned was Serbian. But then when I was a little girl, everybody in the neighborhood had maybe pigs or cow. Mom had a cow. And she'd milk. And I had a little metal can, that little cup. And when she'd go milk, you know, she'd wash the udders and she'd throw the water away, and then I'd stick the cup under there, and she said, "What do you want that milk for? It's hot, you know, warm yet." And I said, "I like it. I drink it all the time." They used to tease me about it. Well, then she had the milk. She made butter and cream. And then everything was simple. And the neighbor across the street, she never had a cow. Well, when she wanted butter, she'd always come over and, you know, ask for butter and cream. My mother gave it to her. Because if you don't give it away, it's going to spoil. And we didn't have, we had ice boxes. I don't know if you ever saw them. Get a chunk of ice and put it in there. Well, then on 16th Street there, they had a ice plant there where they used to, big old chunks of ice, you know, we'd go out there and watch them. And sometimes they'd break off and fall on the ground. And we'd get our coaster wagon and fill it up with that ice. And we'd take it home and we'd wash it, Mom had a tub, and we'd put it in there, and that's where she made beer for, you know, and she put some beer, and she made good beer, and we always had something. There was I don't know, today people don't know how to manage. We don't, maybe because our parents were from Europe, and, they had a different background, and they were used to doing all that. See, they all had a little piece of land somewhere, and if they had some pigs or cow, every morning they'd take them up to pasture, and they had chickens. They always had, you know, whatever they raised. And here now, you can't raise nothing. Where? You got nothing but weeds or grass.
What European traditions did
religion?
Traditions did your what European traditions did your family
Orthodox,
have?
Orthodox, a Serbian Orthodox, yeah. Well, see, the Russians and the Serbians and Macedonians and Bulgarians and the Armenians, they're all Orthodox. They it's about the same, just like all your other religions, but it's the people. They don't get along sometimes. No, we had a Slavic church there in Madison. We had a Bulgarian church. We had a Russian in a Catholic church. In a Catholic school where, you know, a lot of kids went, but we didn't go there. We went once when there's a wedding or something, we always go, you know. And religion is religion. I don't care what religion you are, if you believe in God and Christ, that's all there is. It's just like them Arabs, Allah. Well, Allah is just like we say God. Their language would be Allah. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that, oh, they think they got a different God, but they got the same God that we have. The only thing is that some of them people are a little more squirrely. No, we had... Like my grandkids, when they want to go someplace to the theater, they want to go either to Collinsville or Edwardsville. My daughter would have to take them. And now everybody wants to go to the mall. Well, we had the best stores in town there. If you liked something, you'd go in there, and if you didn't have the money, if you had a dollar or two, you'd put it in a will call. And then maybe every week you go add a little more until you paid it all out. I guess maybe your parents could tell you a lot too. I don't know. Well, I'm 85 years old, so I'm from a different generation. See, that's what I say. We always made everything knew. We took care of our clothes. And when I was going to school, I'd come home from school, I'd take my dress off, and I'd look at it, and if it wasn't dirty, I'd put it back on the hanger, and then I'd put an old dress on, and not today, kids, they just on the floor and let it go. I don't know. We had, I like my generation a lot better than this one. You know, for the kids. Oh, we had a pond behind where I lived in Madison. It was like two empty lots, you know. And in the wintertime, and ice, and we'd go, some kids had skates. Well, we didn't, so we'd take the pet milk can, I guess, you know, and then we'd mash it down and get our shoe on, and we'd go skating around on it. On a can. When I tell my daughter that, she said, "You mean you skated like that?" I said, "Sure." I said, "We had a lot of fun. And it didn't cost nothing." Oh, a bunch of young girls there, you know, were 13, 14. And when there'd be a wedding, we'd go watch it. And then say, "Hey, let's us pretend they have a wedding." So, one of them goes, "Here, I got a curtain, you know. Who's going to be the bride?" We fixed it up. "Who's going to be the groom?" We didn't have boys. So I tell you, that was the best. I think my generation was the best. It was. Everybody is more, you know, well, I guess maybe because of the war.